In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Why don't you lift your hands and give him praise? Lift your hands where you are and just thank him. Express your praise to him the best way you know how to. Just bless him. Just thank him. Go the Agareka. 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 Please lift your voice and bless him. In your own words, magnify him. Give him praise. Open your mouth and just thank him. So much to be grateful for. For the gift of life, for the air that you breathe, for his hand upon your life. Open your mouth and thank him. Open your mouth and thank him. Open your mouth and thank him. The oceans and the mountains, the cattle on the thousand hills are yours. For your grace to fight my battles, and for the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of me, I will bow my heart to the living God. I will lift my voice in words to say, Yabo, Yabo, Kekele Kaisa, Yabo, 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 Kekele Kaisa, Yabo, say. Yabo, Yabo, Kekere ka Isa Yabo. Open your mouth and bless him in your own words. Open your mouth and magnify him. Sing the praise the best way you know you can. Thank him for what he has done. Thank him for what he's about to do that you cannot see. Bless him for who he is. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Father, tonight we are gathered before you in reverence, in humble adoration, in praise for who you are, and in thanksgiving for what you have done. And I know that tonight you will change somebody's life. Lord, as your people listen to your word, let the empowerment to do according to what they hear be received into their heart. Transform somebody's life today. Open our eyes to truths that will help us to rule and reign. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 13. I hope that's the scripture. The Lord gave me this word for somebody. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 13. I was just preparing this afternoon and this morning rather, and God gave me this word for somebody. Maybe this is all you will grab in this service. He said, the wicked is ensnared. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Give us an amplified translation. Amplified translation. It says, but the righteous shall come out of trouble. That's a word for somebody. You are coming out of every trouble. You don't sound like you came to receive. I said you are coming out of every trouble. I said you are coming out of every trouble. Somebody still needs to catch this word. You are coming out of every trouble. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's a direct word for somebody. And maybe that's all you need to just hear in this service. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, not an organization, not an uncle, not a job, the Lord delivers him from them all. I prophesy according to that scripture again. that you are coming out of every trouble. I don't know what the trouble is. Maybe debts, maybe affliction, maybe an attack, maybe you are trusting God for something. Well, I don't care what the trouble is. But in the name of Jesus, in this service, I prophesy to someone ready to receive. You are coming out of every trouble. Shout it louder, amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. If you forget anything in this service, hold that scripture. God gave me that scripture for somebody. I know I'm talking to somebody. You may be following online or you may be here. I'm saying it again till your circumstances receive it. You are coming out of every trouble. It doesn't matter how complicated it is. You see, when you walk with God, if you think you have come to your dead end, what you call end, God will put a B to it and it becomes a bend. That means another road. And when there is no longer any road or any way, God will make himself the way. He said, I am the way. Don't be too deceived by your trouble. It's not so powerful. God is bringing you out of every trouble. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to shake the hands of somebody by your side. Tell them, I'm glad you came to Pneumatech. Hallelujah. Now please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I see that a lot of us are excited today. And that's good to know. Amen. That's the attitude I would like you to receive the word of God today. I'm also excited that you came and that you are following online. Those of us that are here, I know in Maiduguri now the heat is becoming unbearable. And I believe it's because we are approaching the rainy season. Amen. Well, I thank God that at least we have a hall to hold our meetings and to stream live to the whole world. But by the grace of God, when God gives us our own hall, by the grace of God, I assure you, there will be air conditioners. Are you hearing what I'm saying? By the grace of God. Do I sound prideful by saying that? I think the heat has roasted us enough. So when God gives us our own venue, let the devil and his agents hear. There will be air conditioner in church. You'll be happy to come to church, okay? So you can have a good atmosphere to hear the word of God. So with that as your hope, try to endure the heat, okay? And let's see how fast we can go today. God will help us in Jesus' name. So we started a series last week. On financial supply. And I told you that the goal for this teaching is to, first of all, help us know how our financial needs can be met. When you are faced with a situation of lack of poverty or impoverishment, God wants you to know that in Christ Jesus, your needs have been supplied. This is not completely a teaching on finances. This is just on how you can activate financial supply, how you can get money. Amen. So last week we started the first part of the series. We started last week and we looked at faith for supernatural supply. That means that faith is the first principle or the first step by which we can activate financial supplies. Financial supply is simply when there is a flow, an abundant flow of financial resources to meet your needs and enough that can be spared to meet future needs. Anything that money has an answer to is the reason for why God wants you to get money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we started last week, faith for supernatural supply. I showed us from the life of Jesus how that all through his life and ministry, he always enjoyed supply. First of all, remember the story of how he fed 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. The provision was little. The number of the people was much. They were in the wilderness. But Jesus, by an act of faith, was able to activate supply. That means supply is not really connected to your location. Supply is your revelation of the truth that God can and will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. The storehouses of God are infinite. There is no end to how much God can supply. God's source, or the source that is in God for your needs, is limitless and is abundant. Another story we saw how that Jesus, you remember when he was asked to pay tax. At that time he was just with his disciples. It was obvious that in scripture Jesus had certain people around him that became channels of financial supply. But at this time they were not around. And the Pharisees thought he was trapped. And we saw how by an act of faith a miracle was performed when he sent Peter to catch a fish and to pull out money from the mouth of that fish. And it was enough to pay for their needs. That means that if you know how to walk by faith, you can never be stranded financially. When was the last time you sent a text to somebody, "I am financially stranded"? When last? Yesterday? Last week? If you know how to walk by faith, which is the first level, you will know how to always, even when you are stranded. And I will not tell you if it was not true. I will tell you because I have experienced what it means to be stranded before. And I've seen how God has supplied. And I've found out that this word is true and genuine. God can supply your needs in such a way that you cannot be stranded. I showed you from the word of God 4 ways by which God can, or 4 instances or 4 scenarios that shows us how God supplies the needs of his children using the story of the children of Israel. And if you follow those 4 instances, you will see how that in any condition that the child of God is, God is able to supply your needs. The first was when there was famine in the whole world. And the famine was serious in Canaan, but there was bread in Egypt. And so God, by an act of his mercy, was able to translocate Jacob and all his people from Canaan, where there was famine, to Egypt, where there was bread. If not, they would have died in Canaan because of famine. And if they had all died in Canaan, Israel would not have been born as a nation. And that means that the Lord Jesus Christ would not have been born. So because God wanted to preserve posterity and to preserve future and to preserve a prophecy that will be fulfilled, he had to find a way for Jacob and his people. God made a way. Pharaoh loved Joseph and made him the head over his house. And through Joseph, Jacob and his entire household was able to go to Egypt. That means that sometimes God can introduce you in a season in your life where you are experiencing lack. God can provide your financial needs by changing your location, either by changing your job or by changing your geographical location. Sometimes the need for you to move from one place to another, especially when it is impelled by God, may be a strategy
for your supply. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why for some people, they japa to go and study. But for some other people, migrating to another country may be God's secret, God's timely intervention to meet their financial needs. And if in your case it is about location, then it means that no matter what you do, if you remain where you are and you don't move to where God wants you to move to, you will not be able to activate your supply. Someone once said to me that when you walk with God, you must realize that your allocation is in your location. And it is true. You may not be able to see the grace of God at work in your life everywhere. But when you are in a place that is captured by the will of God for you, you will experience an unlimited flow of supply. Another instance was, now they were in Egypt. Years later, Jacob was dead, and the 12 tribes, the sons of Israel, they were all dead. Israel had multiplied in Egypt. And, you know, the story into the Exodus. Help that lady, please. The story into the Exodus. Please look at me. The Bible says, even though they were in a foreign land, even though they were held as slaves, they increased and they multiplied. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 12. Even though they were slaves in a foreign land, they multiplied. There was abundant supply for them. Egypt was not their home. Egypt was not their place. It was a land of a strange language. Now, bringing that to your contemporary state as a child of God, sometimes God can supply your need in the midst of a corrupt society. Are you hearing me or are you looking at the camera? I'm trying to go back through last week. In the midst of a corrupt environment, in the midst of a situation that doesn't favor you, in the midst of strangers, God can supply for you. There are many people who believe that except their family members help them, nobody can help them. God can use strangers to supply for you. He can orchestrate a situation where you are surrounded with people who are not connected to you. But in the midst of what is supposed to be a curse to you, it turns out to become a blessing. The third instance, they left Egypt into the desert. They were supposed to go to Canaan, but now they were in the desert. And it happened to be that they spent 40 years in the desert. And those of us in Maiduguri know what a desert is. But for those of us who don't know, let me explain. Nothing grows in a desert. You know, these days, a lot of African youths, West African youths, and even Nigerians, they fall for the trick and the scam that they can go through the Sahara Desert to Europe. Somebody will promise them that there's a job somewhere. How are you going? They will take you to northern Nigeria, you pass the border, and then you keep going like that. Many people have been a victim of human trafficking. Many people have died in that desert. I've been privileged to watch some documentaries of people who have journeyed through that place and been able to come back. And they will tell you that sometimes you can go for days, all you see is sand, no water, no rain. People become so desperate for survival that they don't mind drinking their urine just to stay alive. Such was the story of the children of Israel. They were in a desert. Imagine carrying 3 million people into a desert. Where are you going to get food and water for them? And God said Moses should carry them there. And we saw how that in a desert, God showed them abundance. When push came to shove, he turned a dirty water to become sweet. And when there was no water, he brought water from a rock. He caused manna, bread, to fall from heaven. They complained, they needed meat. God said, okay, you need meat, I will make you eat meat till it comes out of your nose. Say, okay, God, let's see how you do it. 3 million people. And God, I don't know whether he whistled and all the birds from one place gathered together. He gave them meat. He proved to them that in 40 years, while they were in the desert, he could sustain them. Now, that instance means there are times when God does not need your location to provide for you. Yeah. You can be in the midst of scarcity and God will supply. You can be in the midst of poverty and there will be a limitless flow of resources. It's faith that activates that. You can be in a place they call a dry land and prosper and now become a mystery to the people around there. Then the last instance was when they entered Canaan. Now God brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of abundance. They didn't labor for anything. They just entered and possessed many things. That means that there's a time you come in your life where it may not be that you are working to earn a living. It may not be because of anything you have done. God just brings you into rest. He just brings you into what I call the prepared blessing. It is true. We don't teach it so that you can become lazy, but let me tell you the truth. If you enter into that place of rest, it's not really about what you do. Everything will just be producing because you have come to your promised land, your place of rest. These four instances we see in scripture shows you different ways by which God can provide for his children under different conditions. And you can't have a condition worse than any of these or better than any of these. I pray in the name of Jesus, by reason of this series, someone is breaking into a season of financial supply. I'm talking about supply that will cause your family members to marvel. Supply that will surprise you every day. You said the amen like you didn't believe it. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I showed you 10 ways by which God can. I showed you 10 actions of faith that can provoke supply. Remember, the first was thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an action of faith that allows you to lay hold of that which has already been provided. Anytime you thank God, he interprets it to mean more. So if you give thanks, what he's hearing is more. I want more. So an indirect way to ask God for things is to thank him. In fact, when you thank him for what he has not given, you have put him in a corner in such a way that he has to give. Let me explain. Imagine if just imagine you go for a lunch, maybe an occasion, and they are launching something. And then maybe an uncle or somebody who is very rich and is close to you. Is that okay? Let's say your birthday. And then somebody who is connected to you, a relative, maybe an uncle or somebody who has money, maybe your dad or somebody who is rich, is there. And then you stand on stage and you are giving vote of thanks. Oh, I want to thank God for another year. I want to thank my family members for supporting me. I want to thank this person and thank that person. And then you start talking about this person who is rich. Oh, he has been so good to me. He has done this. He has done that. He has done this. He has done. Everybody just keeps looking at him like this. And then he becomes uncomfortable. This Thanksgiving is too much. I think I need to do more. Or let's say you go for where they are launching something. Huh? And everybody is like the highest bidder. Have you been there before? Good. Let's say they are opening cake. You know, they know how to do it in occasions. Say, we cannot open this cake before you give money. I don't know where they got that one from. That the key to open a cake is money. Amen. And then some people are coming out. This one gives 100,000. This one comes and say, I'm opening with 200,000. This one comes. And everybody's just looking at that, your wealthy uncle seated there. And he knows everybody's looking at him and he becomes uncomfortable. If I don't do anything, so by force I have to do something. Now, that's what Thanksgiving does. Every time you thank God, especially when you thank Him in the congregation here, when He knows you are thanking Him for what He has not yet given you, you have put Him in a corner to ensure, because as you are thanking Him, believers are watching. Angels are standing with Him watching. They know that He has not given you that thing, but you are thanking Him, so they are looking at Him. Okay, what will you do? And then God becomes so pressured that He takes a blessing that was to come 6 months. I say, okay, I'll take it so that I'm not embarrassed. That's the first action of faith. When you thank God, you open the door to financial supply. You just go and try it. Start with tonight. Give Him thanks. Tomorrow, give Him thanks. Next tomorrow, continue. Is either He gives you what you are looking for, or He gives you something that says, hold on, the real blessing is coming. You know, there are some blessings that are not the real blessing. It's just hold on, it's consolation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That car that God gave you was not the car He wanted to give you. That one is hold on. The real car is coming. That business, that job that He gave you is because you have waited too long. So manage this one. The real one is coming. And imagine when the one that He's saying manage with is even big enough to be called the blessing. Then think of what the real blessing will be. So will be somebody's story in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you, that will be somebody's story. In the name of Jesus Christ. And lastly, I told you that the 10th action of faith is to remember God. Find a way to listen to the message of last week. We are going into the message of today, part 2. Wisdom for supernatural supply. Wisdom for supernatural supply. Oh God, You are my God, and I will always seek You. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning. I will learn to walk in Your ways. For step by step You lead me, and I will follow You all of my days. Let's sing it again. Oh God, You are my God, and I will always praise You. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You. My prayer is that God tonight will show us His ways so that we can walk in them. Tonight is a step higher. Wisdom for supernatural supply. Hear this. Faith shows you what to do. Wisdom tells you how to live. What to do is an action that can bring momentary relief. But when you know how to live, you will always get by. When you know how to live, you may not need that action again. It is wisdom that commands mastery in the ways and the things of God. Faith provokes the flow. Faith provokes open the flow, the supply. But wisdom channels, sustains, multiplies, and preserves the supply. Yeah. With faith, you can open the door, the storehouse of God, to abundance. You can open your life to a flow of financial supply. But what is open can be closed sometimes. That's the reason why some people have today and tomorrow they don't have. But when you get the master key, which is wisdom, you will not only open the door, but you will know how to channel the flow into your life. You will know how to sustain it. You will know how to multiply it so much that you no longer need to receive from God. You have now become an annex through which God can bless others. And then wisdom also preserves it. To be honest with you, not everybody prays for financial supply in the kingdom. Some people have gotten there. And I want us to get there in the name of Jesus. Not truly, not everybody prays for money. Have you thought about it? Not everybody. Wisdom is that superior key that brings you to a place of rest and a place of dominion where you are over sure that the supply will always be present. You know, when you have, by the wisdom of God, known how to open, to multiply, to channel, and to preserve financial supply into your life, when by wisdom you have gotten to that point, your prayer will be more of thanksgiving. Yeah. So you see that people who enjoy financial supply in a sustainable way are often the candidates of thanksgiving. They are often the ones that give God thanks the most. And it's scriptural. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 10. Let me show you something before we get into scripture or the word. It says 9 verse 11. It says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, meaning you have so much that you can give out, which causes what? Complaining. Which causes what? Grumbling. Which causes what? So you thank God better when there is supply and when the supply is sustained. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wisdom for supernatural supply. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 tells us the ultimacy of wisdom, the importance of wisdom. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. The word principal means fundamental. It means the first rule or the first law. In other words, the first thing you need in life is wisdom. If you have life as a human being and you can exist on earth, the first thing you need to seek for is wisdom. Nothing supersedes wisdom in the kingdom of God. There are other components by which we can live a victorious life as believers, but wisdom stands out. In Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3, the Bible says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. That house can be your marriage. That house can be your financial destiny. It can be your career. It can be your academics. It can be your relationship. Anything that you will build in this life, the Bible says it is built by what? Wisdom. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, a wise woman builds her house. Unfortunately, many young ladies think that the success of a marriage depends only on the husband. And by their interpretation of that, he must have money. Because when there's money, the family is sustained. They say, no money, no honey. Is that true? But now the Bible shows you that you too, you play a major role in seeing that that home is built and is successful. A wise woman builds her house with her hands, but a foolish woman tears it down. If you must build in life, you need wisdom. It says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And it says, by knowledge, the rooms within the house will be filled with precious and pleasant things. Let me read it in the Living Bible Translation. It says, any enterprise is built by wise planning. Enterprise. Now, stocking business. Stocking company. Venture. Anything you are building is built how? By wise planning. It says, it becomes strong through common sense and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. So you see the importance of wisdom in building, establishing, and sustaining your financial destiny. In Proverbs chapter 8 verse 18, the Bible tells us, surprisingly, that it is by wisdom people stumble or people enter into riches. It says, riches and honor are with me. Who is talking there? Wisdom. Enduring riches. That means riches that can last. Riches that can translate from one generation to the other. Not the kind of riches you find in Africa. Yeah. By my calculations, except there is a change, up to 70% of the wealthy people in Africa, their wealth may not outlive their generation to the next. Because when you see a wealthy man with foolish children, you know there's trouble. When you see a man who is about to die, and instead of the children to be looking for how to keep him alive, they are already eyeing the properties. Papa never died, or they visited lawyer. Have you seen that? He's spending his last days in the hospital, and everybody is coming to visit him with food. And secretly, when each person comes, they say, daddy, you know that your legs just at home. You know, if you give Uche now, he can't take care of it, but me, I can take care of it, you know. Have you seen that? Well, it's because some of them who are rich, they got rich by stealing. It was not legitimate. They stole money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Bible is clear about stolen money, ill riches. But the Bible says it is by wisdom that you can find sustainable riches. Give us that scripture again. Proverbs 8 verse 18. It says, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. You know, it's a hard combination to be rich and still be godly. The only super glue that can glue those two things is wisdom. Verse 21 of the same chapter. Please be fast for us, okay? That I may cause those who love me. Wisdom is still speaking. That I may cause those who love me to do what? That I may feel. Go to the next verse. Let's see. Okay. Go back to verse 20. Okay. 21 now. Back to 21. It says that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. So any man that embraces wisdom has signed up for a wealthy and a prosperous life, whether now or later, that I may fill their treasuries. We are talking about wisdom for supernatural supply. Finally, in Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1 to 5, the Bible uses a figure of speech, figurative language, to talk about the principles that wisdom can help you gain mastery of, so that you can become rich and wealthy in financial supply. The Bible calls it PhD. pillars here. It says, wisdom has built her house and she has hewn out her seven pillars. Of course, seven pillars doesn't mean every house must be sustained by seven pillars. No. Some houses that are built need more than seven pillars. Some need more than 15, more than 20. But when the Bible says seven pillars, it's because seven is a number used to represent divine perfection or completion. So when the Bible says wisdom has built her house, give us a scripture again. When the Bible says wisdom has built her house on seven pillars, it's saying that wisdom will introduce you to the complete set of principles that you need to master wealth, riches, and a life of financial supply. Do you understand? So the pillar there is simply talking about principles. Let's continue to verse 5. It says, she has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. It's talking about how these principles, how wisdom can help you understand how to apply these principles. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is foolish, the word simple there is just the Bible's godly way of calling foolishness. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, verse 5, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. In other words, for you to become rich and wealthy and experience financial supply in your life, whether you are a student, you are a working class, whether you are married or you are single, whether you are young or you are now in your 50s and your 60s, you will need to commune with wisdom. When wisdom there says, come and eat my bread and drink my wine, it's not saying you will literally eat bread and wine, no. It speaks of communion. A man devoting his life to interact with wisdom. That's how he puts it in Proverbs 18 verse 1, King James translation. It says, true desire, a man having separated himself. I said King James translation. Having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And so it is important that while you are young, and it's okay even if you are old now, but it is important that while you are young, when you start out in life, create time to commune with the principles of wisdom. Because anything you will build in this life that will last will be based on how wise you have become. And so you must give your time to seek wisdom. That's the reason why there are many people with masters in business administration who are poor. There are many people who went to Harvard to study business administration and they can't do well in business. There are many professors in business admin, banking and finance who cannot even click a deal that will give you $1 million. And yet some of the wealthiest people on earth didn't go to school. Because you don't find wisdom in a school. It's practical. It's life applicatory. So the guy that didn't finish school, when he has good command of wisdom, he will establish an enterprise and hire the person with PhD. You know, those days when it was the time of our parents, when they were young, once you finish university, in fact, grade 2 certificate as a teacher, job is waiting for you, college of education, they even boasted with it that time. If you went to a university, you are done. A job was waiting for you, but now with your masters, you go line up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will see somebody with masters, first degree and masters, first class, but he will still be pleading with the HR. Please now, I need this job. That degree, is it good? Yes. Can it be helpful? Yes. But it takes wisdom to find your way in life. In fact, to know the right degree to study, it takes wisdom. Otherwise, you study a degree that will never get you a job anywhere. They say it's a lucrative course. Apply for it and the person applies and he gets it and he's there. You know, those days when we're in school. The MBBS guys and the engineering guys, they were always full of themselves because they felt their job was lucrative in the market. Once they finished school, a job was just waiting for them with their name. It's like when you travel to another country and they send somebody to pick you from the airport, then the person writes your name on a placard and holds it like this. And as soon as you are coming out of the arrival hall, the person with your name, you just go straight there and a jeep is waiting for you. So some of them just thought that once we finish that job, that degree, a job is waiting for us with our name on it. Well, we now left school. Malande laba kasokraba. What was the problem? Was the degree not good? It was good. Absolutely, it was good. But what they gained was knowledge. It is through wisdom a house is built. That's why if you are here and maybe you are studying MBBS, but you have strong business instinct inside of you, can I give you my advice? While you are in school, read your MBBS book very well. When you write your exam and go for the day, go and be watching business news. Go and sit among traders. Graduate. Then when you have graduated with your certificate, that your DR, go and find where you will prosper. It's the same thing with some people who migrate into other countries. They sell a narrative to them that when you travel abroad, it's as if job is on the street with like pure water nylon. Just waiting. Once you just reach, just start picking it like this. And some of them traveled there and ended up washing plates, washing dead bodies. There are some who even pick dustbin. Yes. I hope your relative is not among them. That dollars he sent you, maybe it's dustbin money. And if any of them is suffering like that, by reason of this series, God is translocating them. Why? Because they received a narrative, but they were not wise in going about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's where we are going to talk about a lot today. It's a very practical teaching. Some of the things you will hear here are things they will not even teach you when you are studying your business admin, MBA. I can assure you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is a bridge that connects the classroom with practical business on the streets. And that's what you want to receive today. Wisdom principles for supernatural supplies. Wisdom principles for supernatural supplies. Last week we saw that by faith you can open the door to supply. Faith means you believe God and then He brings the supply. But in the place of wisdom, it will reveal more of your participation. What you can do so that you don't always wait for a door to open. That's what God wants to reveal to you. Number one, wisdom principles for supernatural supplies. Are you ready? I want you to hold your neighbor's hand and pray in tongues for just 1 minute. Let God open your eyes today. Just pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Let God open my eyes. Open the eyes of my neighbor. Anything that I do not know before now, let it be revealed to me. In Jesus' name. Wisdom principles or pillars for supernatural supply. Number one, God. God. It is wisdom for you to see God as your source. Not just your source, your only source. And the secret to an endless and limitless supply flow. God. Wisdom tells you God remains your number one source. Don't confuse channels for source. God is your source. Say after me, God is my source. I cannot fail. God is your source, indeed. God. It is wise for you to picture God as the source of your financial supply. Not a job. Not an organization. Not a system. Not a business strategy. Not a business plan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is your source. No matter how fine that plan is in paper, we can sink money into it and that money can go down the drain. Then you turn back and say, God, are you there? God remains your source. So it is wise when you see God as your source. If God is your source, it means you have been connected to an endless and a limitless flow of supply. It will always flow if God is your source. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Glory means God's infinite economy by which men can be sustained. In this scenario now, when the Bible says by his riches in glory, not by his riches in central bank, not by his riches in even if you live in a house full of dollars. You see, that's the thing. Many people don't understand money, and I'll come to that point. Many people think that cash is money. No. That's the physical tangent to money. That paper you are holding, something can happen to the economy and that paper will be worthless. So it's not money. It is by his glory that he supplies. That's the reason why even when you don't have food to eat, or when you don't have the job, you still feed. You still wear clothes. You even have money to buy hair. And sometimes for God to teach people, for God to bring people back to the basics of wisdom in financial supply, he may sometimes in their life allow them to go without a job for a period. Listen, not every season of lack is meant to punish you. Sometimes it has set the stage for you to learn vital lessons. Some people don't know the basics of life. And part of the basics of life, which is wisdom in itself, is to believe that God is your source, not your job. If it takes you 6 months out of a job to learn that, fine. If it takes you 2-3 years out of a job to learn that, fine. Otherwise, that job will become an idol. Otherwise, that career will become an idol. That's why you see some people at 60 years, they are still falsifying their age because they think if they keep working, money will keep coming. They are afraid of retirement. Yet, there are some other people who retire at 40 years, 45 years. Because they know that that job was not a source. That job was only a means to an end. But some people have confused the means to become their end. May that not be your portion in the name of Jesus. God is your source and God is enough. It is belittling for you to think that there is another option apart from God. Hey, I know God will supply, but make I sha. Alright, sha your sha. Are you hearing me? God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Has given to us how many things? All. Not will give to us. His divine power. He puts power there so that you know that there is a force to back the delivery of that which he has promised you. Is it not Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 that says, that he giveth you power to get wealth. That's what happens when God is your source. His divine power makes available all things that you need. So the first principle for financial supply is to know that God is your source. And how do you activate your source for supernatural supply? If God is your source, how can he come true for you? How can he ensure that you are plugged into that supply? That there is that flow of money, first of all, to take care of your basic needs and to reassure you that even your secondary needs, you now talk about maybe the needs of family members around you, or maybe needs for a business or an investment that can create sustainability around your finances. If God is your source, how do you plug into this flow? By revelation. By revelation. When you become a believer, your life is lived from the standpoint and the perspective of revelation. Revelation is simply a supernatural disclosure of spiritual realities that can translate into physical deliverables in your life. Sorry if I'm too fast. You can listen to the message again and write it again. Revelation is a supernatural disclosure. So it is by revelation that you can activate the supply that comes from God. And there are three ways by which you can activate this supply when God is your source. This is how God will do it for you. In three ways, this revelation of divine supply or financial supply from God works in three ways in the life of a believer. Number one, he gives you. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says he gives you power to get. So by divine revelation, God can give you money. He can give you financial supply. He can give you financial resources that will meet your needs. If God is giving you, it is because you have immediate needs that there is no time to start learning principles. Those needs need to be met first. So he gives you. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives you. Number two, He teaches you. Still by divine revelation, he will teach you how to activate financial supply. Isaiah 48 verse 17. I hope you know God is the master teacher. What's the other name of the Holy Ghost? The teacher. He said, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who does what? Teaches you to what? Profit. In the first case, he gave to you because you had needs that were already tearing your life apart. There was no time for you to sit down and start learning principle 101, principle 202. No, hunger will just kill you. So take by revelation. And he can do it in different ways. Then the next step is, instead of God just giving you every day, he daily loads us with benefit. That will just make you a dependent. So God wants to mature you. He now moves you to the next stage. He begins to teach you. Okay, this miracle you see me doing for you every day is not actually difficult. He begins to teach you the principles by which you yourself can create that miracle every day. For instance, rain falls from the sky, isn't it? And then we'll say, oh, God has blessed us with rain. That means if we are always waiting for rain to fall during dry season, we will not farm. But when we move to the next stage of teaching, we'll now realize that that rain that fell, some of it were trapped somewhere called a river. Some were trapped somewhere called a well. And even during dry season, when the rain is not falling, we can channel that water and ensure that farming activities can still continue. God has taught you how to make what is supposed to be a daily miracle to become a continuous lifestyle, to become a continuous reality. You see, if you walk with God very well, you will grow from being dependent to being matured and responsible. If you see Christians who don't want to do anything or make any effort, no matter how long they have stayed in church, they just show you that they want to remain children. Like the church in 1 Corinthians, Paul complained to them. He said, by now I should be giving you strong revelation. But you guys, you still want milk. You still want to be drinking. There are people that by now, they are supposed to have moved to the teaching stage where God begins to teach them powerful supernatural principles that can help them come into sustainable financial supply. But they don't want that one because it will tax them a little bit. God should just be throwing manna from heaven every day. Apostle, you say there's miracle money. Can it be happening every day in the name of Jesus? In fact, Apostle, what will make sense in this teaching is at the end of this service, prophesy miracle money. I did it in miracle service. That's enough. Now it's time for you to learn. I teach you to profit. He can teach you in your business. He can teach you in your career. Surrender your finance to him, and he can teach you how that little salary can take care of you. The next stage, he leads you. Still that same scripture, Isaiah 48 verse 17. He said, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Teaching a person is one thing, but guiding them through the process is another. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit in verse 26, he said, when he comes, he will teach you all things. Then in chapter 16, Jesus realized that there are some things in the kingdom that you can't use logic to understand. Some truths in the kingdom are experiences that you need to, they are practical. When you entered secondary school, in Jess 1 and Jess 2, you were just, everything is on the board. What is a computer? A computer is this and this and that and that. But someday, they will need to take you to a chemistry lab and show you that thing they taught you in Jess 3, in SS 1. This is how to do it. How many of you did titration in chemistry? Some of you almost burned your hand with the acid. Some of you didn't do. You paid your friends to do it for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you, you NAS, you know, NAS is a slang to mean you run, you don't attend classes. Some of you NAS practical classes, then during WAEC, when you stand, only you to a table. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So at some point, you will need to be brought into practicals. They will need to show you in the lab that this thing we showed you in textbook, or we taught you abstractly, this is how to do it. This is how to do it. So God will not just stop at teaching you. You may not even understand. It may seem very sweet on book and paper, but God will have to guide you through practical experiences. And when he's leading you, he will create situations to simulate the right environment for your experiences. For instance, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. But when you have matured enough, he leads me beside still waters. When God is leading you to understand how to tap into financial supply, sometimes he will allow you to be broke. So that the things he taught you, you now have a situation that simulates the conditions for you to apply what you have learned. Are you hearing me? You don't sound like you heard me. Let me explain it again. When God leads you, it's still by revelation, but this time around, he has created situations to simulate the conditions needed so that you can practicalize what he taught you. In your Bible studies, he showed you from the Bible how your business can prosper. Abi, it looks sweet. You jotted it down. For you, you have found a message. Before you'll be able to preach that, God will need to take you through an experience to see if you will do exactly what you learned in paper. And that's where many people flop. So God will allow you to be broke Because when God is leading you, then there has to be, the environment has to be well simulated. You know that word simulation, you borrow it from the Air Force when they are training people, when they are giving people flight instructions in aviation school. They will take you into what they call a simulation device. When you enter, it is as though you are in the cockpit of an aeroplane. It's not real, but it's a simulation. And you will see other planes coming, or you will see maybe a missile coming and how you need to dodge, or how you can fly a plane, how you take off, how to put out the flaps and to retract them. A condition has been created for you to see, to simulate all that you have learned so that you can apply it. Because if it cannot be applied, it cannot be called wisdom. How do you say a man is wise? It's by his results. Wisdom is justified by her children. The word children is figurative for results. That's why you rather listen to Dangote for 15 minutes than somebody who traveled to Harvard and studied to PhD, business administration. Yes or no? Because this one learned it in school. See your guy here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So how does he do it? By revelation. He gives, he teaches, and he leads. Let's start again from the beginning. Number one, he. Number two. Number three. Let's go again. Number one, he. Number two. Number three. All by revelation. God can, if God wants to give you something, he can move you by revelation. Wake up, go and visit so and so person. Let's say you are a student now. Tomorrow afternoon is sunny and you are hungry. And then the Spirit of God can inspire you to go and visit somebody in C block. And as soon as you enter, they are just bringing the spaghetti from fire. You say, I work out well. He just showed you where your meal was waiting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Step two, he will do what? He will teach you. Like I'm doing now. And then step three, he will lead you. In step two, it can be many of us together at the same time. But in step three, it's only you and God. He leads you. It's you alone. You will know a man is led by the actions he takes. You will not see what he's seeing, because he's the only one. God is showing him where to go. May God lead you to your place of abundance. May God lead you to your dream life of abundance. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number two. This time they run. Now, wow. Number two. The power of value. The power of value. The power of value. The power of value. That's another wisdom principle for supernatural supply. This is the dividends of developing yourself. Do you know that when you develop yourself, you can implicate your life for sustainable and continuous supply? Without calling the name of Jesus, you have created something in your life that is vocal enough to call supply. And it comes without you praying. Otherwise, why do we have some of the world's billionaires who are not Christians? Some of them, we don't even know their religion. And they are prospering. And God vets the principles by which they prosper. Value. Hear this. Your net worth is determined by your self-worth. Your net worth Business people, what is net worth? What are you saying? Business people, what is your net worth? Your total income per year. Let's clap for Pastor Prince Will. Clap and be blessed. You see? So there is a wisdom in how to make everybody clap, even if they don't want to be clap. They don't want to clap. Your income per year. Your net worth is determined by your self-worth. That means, to a large extent, you can determine what comes to you in terms of financial resources. How? When you have actualized your self-worth. Listen, people will either pay you for what you can do or for what you can bring or for who you are. One way or the other, these three things, one of these three things will attract financial supply to your life. It's either what you can do or what you can bring or who you are. You know the one that's the highest? Who you are. Value helps you to embrace developing your personality, identifying who you are. That's your personality. Identifying what you can do. That's your ability. And then knowing how to sell who you are or what you can do in such a way that your environment can exchange it for resources. Let's say, for instance, I'm a doctor. I'm a surgeon. I can operate people. Right? I can get paid for it. Maybe as a plastic surgeon. One thing or the other. I can get paid for that. That's what I can do. But do you also know that there is a place where you can develop your personality? Because we are living in a world where influence matters. Now, it's not just what you do can contribute to the working of a system, but who you are can survive and sustain a system. You may have developed yourself so much. You discover your identity, who you are, and you realize that who you are, when well developed, can compel the attention of people and even resources your way. And so there are those who are being sustained or who have plugged into financial supply because of what they do. But then there are those who are earning because of who they are, the personality they have developed. For instance, a life coach. He's not just doing something. He has become something. And it has carved a niche for him. And that personality that he has identified and he's able to sell to his environment can ensure that resources are driven to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're talking about the power of value. Developing yourself. The reward that comes with developing yourself. A native doctor in the bush. You see, what we are teaching today applies to every field. It applies to every field. Whether you like it or not, the native doctor must see goats every week. Somebody is looking for something. And if they can't find it and they are desperate, they will find their way to the bush. Sit on stone. Drink dirty water from calabash. Why? Because that native doctor has developed his personality. He's known as a spiritualist. That when things go south in the physical and you cannot find logical explanations or logical pathways to solving that issue, you can go spiritual. He can download principles from another realm that can be used to solve crises in the physical. That's an identity he has. And because of that, he will be paid for it. Same thing with a pastor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Value. In Luke chapter 2 verse 52, the Bible spoke of Jesus. And the Bible showed us how he developed himself. This verse summarized 18 years of Jesus' life, of his life. And they launched him into ministry. What did he say? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He developed himself. And because of that, he had favor with God and men. He had unprecedented influence. Why? Because he developed himself. Favor with God and man. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17. He said, learn to do good. Give us in King James translation. Learn to do well. Why? Because if you do well, you will be rewarded. You remember the story in Matthew 25 about the talents. That guy that had one talent, because he couldn't do anything, when the king came to him, he said, Augustine, your one talent, I know you are a hard man, you reap from where you do not sow. You know what he was saying by that? That servant, first of all, was envious by that speech. He was envious of how rich his master was. And he wondered why they were the ones doing the work, but the master was the one rich. Unfortunately for him, his master was a king. He was getting paid because of what he could do. And he didn't develop his status to grow beyond a servant. But that guy was a king. He had a personality that warranted that things should come to him. You know, when you enter an office and you see cleaners and clerks and cooks, they are angry because they feel that they are doing more work and they are paid less. More so, the people that are their bosses are older than them. They become gossipers. They form a ring of gossip. And please don't join any ring of gossip. It doesn't feed at all. Gossip can never put one naira on your table. In fact, as you are gossiping, energy is leaving your body. You are becoming hungry more and more. So they feel cheated. They feel that they are the ones doing more work, because to them, carrying a mop and mopping around the whole place. And they've taught us how that in the 21st century, you must not just work hard, but you must learn to work smart. Okay, the cleaner is 45 years. The manager is 26. Sometimes, you know, the Nigerian culture, the African culture, just so that the cleaner is not intimidated, she will call the manager, my daughter. Your daughter is still your boss. Just like it like that. Your daughter is your boss. You know, they do that thing. Say, my daughter. They just want to find a way to intimidate you or suppress you. I senior you. Yes, you senior me, but I'm the one paying your bills. Why? Because I spent years in a university developing myself by adding certificates. You senior me by age, yes. What did you do with the age? I don't know, but now I senior you. Now me, they sign your voucher. So if you are that kind of daughter that they call you my daughter, answer them, yes, mommy. But when you enter office, let it be, yes, ma. Because as old as she is, she can't sit on that your chair and make the decisions you make. If she thinks she's older than you by age, that you have developed your mind to be able to crack solutions that makes you an asset to that company. Developing yourself. So all of us, they hired us the same day into the same organization, different project. When they paid us after 6 months, everybody went to buy a car. This one bought this one. This one bought that one. Then me, I started taking courses online, increasing my resume. Courses related to my field and even beyond my field. Then we wake up in 2025, Trump's policy, and they say, man, a lot of people have to be retrenched. They will look for people who are not relevant. All these years you have been in the organization, what did you do? Just go. Sorry, you have to go. But then they look at somebody who came into the organization with 2 degrees, but his resume now has 6 extra added to it, plus a master's in view. You think they'll let him go like that? So you see that the power of value You see, value is so powerful that it can veto segregational reasons. It can go beyond prejudice. People may not like you, but when they see the value you bring to the system, they are forced to hire you. A Muslim can still sign your employment letter and give you a Christian. Why? Because compared to the other Muslim guys that you came for the interview with, you are more valuable than them. That's the dividends for developing yourself. Hear this. Value can be interpreted in these templates. Skill. You can be valuable by the skill you possess. Under skills, I hope you know there are two kinds of skills. There is innate skills, inborn skills, and then there are derived skills. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are things you can do naturally. They are your talents. But then there are other skills that you can learn. For instance, tech skills, coding, programming, learn how to use Python. Somebody are looking at me with your eyes like this. All right. That's what children are doing in China. Children. Playing with Python and all of this programming stuff. Children here, what are they doing? Consuming the creation of those ones. Let me tell you, parents, invest in skill development for your children. Let them learn as much as they can learn. As much as they can learn. From baking to horticulture to cooking to ICT, learn everything you can learn. All right? So value can be interpreted in skill. Value can be interpreted in intelligence. Your ability to tax your mental capacity and prefer solution to problem. Whether because you are smart or because you have studied far. Value can also be interpreted as a hard-earned reputation. A hard-earned reputation. Let's say you go to study, obtain certain degrees, and it beautifies your CV, your resume. It makes you valuable. It took you time. It took you investments in yourself to get that reputation. You went for this course, this conference, this seminar. You traveled here and there. And now you have a reputation that makes you appealing in the market. That's value. In Proverbs 22 verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is better than many riches. Ah. This is where reputation signals money. And that's why even when you don't have the money, develop yourself, develop a good reputation. It can open doors for you. It can connect you with the money. Value can also be interpreted as virtue. Yes, so virtue. Character that makes you trustworthy. I hope you know that when you have developed the right characters, the right moral values. I talked about value system in our online mentorship class 2 Fridays ago. And I want to announce it on Fridays by 7 p.m. You can join us on YouTube or Facebook. There's a mentorship class going on there. You will learn a lot. Trust me. You will learn a lot. People connect from around the world. Just check my YouTube or Facebook, Apostle Jonathan Lagan. Friday, 7 p.m. You have been praying in tongues all through the week. No problem. When is Friday, 7 p.m.? Stop praying. Go and learn for 1 hour. Virtue. Character. Look at these scriptures. Proverbs 22 verse 4. Watch this. Proverbs 22 verse 4. It says, by humility. Is that not a virtue? By humility and the fear of the Lord are what? Riches and honor and life. You may not have the certificate, but if you take time to set a good moral value system for yourself, if you take time to cultivate the right character, you can be very close to financial supply. Some people are rich, they are just looking for people of character, because trust is an expensive commodity. Even in some positions in some organizations, it's not about CV anymore. It's about, can we trust you? Because when they look at the fact that this seat you are going to sit on is connecting you to hundreds of millions, you can just cut away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? While still in exercise, you are made for life. That's why some agencies in Nigeria, they don't advertise their for instance, DSS, NIA. Do you see on newspaper anywhere that we are recruiting here? Na lie. If it's army, you see it, recruitment exercise, bam. But how do they recruit DSS people? You don't know. It's because tied to that job is virtue. You are going to be handling information, secrets. Can you be trusted? Go and find out what it takes to be hired to enter the CIA in America. In fact, if anything happens and you are found wanting, maybe they suspect you are betraying the agency, they can kill you. Because one information you leak, virtue. Sadly, we are living in a world today where everybody just wants to get by any means possible. Nobody can be trusted. Social vices have become the norm. That's what Pastor Henry told us in BPI last month. Cutting corners is okay. What do you do when you are hiring? And six people that came for that interview, five of them are Christians. Four of them have falsified records. Results falsified, age falsified, and they laid hands and anointed a falsified document in the name of Jesus and trusting God to get a job with it. And then you go and do your background check as a HR and see that these guys are wanting. It's even more painful when that HR is a Christian. If I'm the HR, I will not hire any of you. No. If somebody can falsify a document, they can gang up against you. But Apostle, not everybody is a saint. Pick where you stand. Now let me tell you, as corrupt as the world is, there is a point you'll get to where what they will look for is virtue, character. 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 Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people who have climbed the ladders of corporate organizations. They've climbed the ladders in the business world beyond their CV and what they know. They are just hired for virtue's sake. There is a woman in this country who served with the government for many years. When the new government came in, they fired her. As she was walking out of the villa, she got a call from America, World Trade Organization, say, come back, come and be Director General. There are better people in the world, but you are looking for somebody you can trust. Proverbs chapter 22, another scripture, verse 11, what did he say? He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, who will be his friend? If the king is your friend, will you beg? If the governor is your friend, will you beg? The power of value. So, how do you develop your value? Number one, discover your identity. Number two, discover and sharpen your abilities. Number three, learn how to sell your personality to others. What you can do is still not enough. You may still be poor even with what you can do. But you need to learn how to sell yourself. How to market yourself. In business, there's something called your unique selling point. How do you advertise yourself? Are you hearing me? Somebody says in an interview, you have 30 seconds to prove to me why you should be the one for this job. It's not that you don't know how to do it. You have 30 seconds. Tell me why you think you are fit for this job. That's when you need to learn how to sell yourself. You need to give that person a compelling reason. They don't teach that one in school. You will have to learn it practically. Number four. Find the fusion between your personality and your ability. Let me explain. Find how to connect together who you are and what you can do, and use that to carve a niche for yourself. I wish I had time to talk about who you are. That thing about personality. I spoke about it when I talked about values 2 weeks ago. In fact, you can go back online and watch that mentorship session. I spoke about values and how that values speak about who you are, and the templates to define who you are, how you can identify your personality, and how that can affect what comes to you. If I go into that, that's a whole teaching of its own. You know, Sunday is not enough to dish out everything. Number five, developing value. Work with those who challenge you to get better. Work with those who challenge you to get better. He that walks with the wise shall be what? But a companion of morons shall be what? Don't surround yourself with mediocres or yes men. No, no. It's okay to be affirmed, to be acknowledged. But after you acknowledge, look for people who will challenge you. Not people who will shout on you. Mm-mm. People who, being around them, seeing what they do and how they behave, pushes you to do better. In fact, just looking at their life, just looking at them, you are already seeing ways and areas by which you can improve yourself. That's what happens when you travel for a conference. That's why your organization pays for you to travel to a place. Why can't they do the training here? Yes, they can do the training here and you eat buns and zobo, no problem. But when they move you from here to Uganda, to Canada, to Abuja, they put you in a 5-star hotel where everybody around you is your future. There's such a thing as walking around people who are above you. Don't get intimidated. They show you how many more steps in the ladder you can climb to be better. It's not that you are not doing anything. You are already good. That's why you have the chance to be better. You are a man of God. Go and hang around people. When you look at them, it's like you are looking at your future. You are a business person. Look for billionaires. Look for millionaires. Hang around them. There's something you can learn. Listen, association can develop your value. In fact, at a time, by just knowing you are connected to this person, has given you the contract. Oh, how are you? And then you are discussing, oh, this is bidding for a contract. And then the man now talks about, oh, I went somewhere for this function and this and this and this. Oh, so I was there. Oh, you were there? Yes. Then the man says, for you to be in that kind of place, that means you must be a wise person. Let's consider you. But when the man is talking with you, oh, do you know this? Do you know that? Have you been here? You are just there like that. But I know how to mix cement and plaster the building. They will look for work for your level. Association. I was told that one of the richest men in this country, one time, I won't mention the name, but his daughter schooled abroad. When she finished, she came back to Nigeria. He sent her to a man they call Professor Pat Utomi. One time, is he the rector of Lagos Business School or something like that? He sent her to Pat Utomi, Professor Pat Utomi, one of the think tanks that we have in this nation. I told him, he said, sir, let her work for you for 1 year without pay. 1 year Develop value. You see, if you are only looking for what you can get, you will not develop yourself. And your salary will hang around a particular amount for a long time. But if you look at developing value, some work, some jobs may not pay much, but you will take it. They can say, come and volunteer. No money, but you will take it. Why? Because money is good and I need money, but there's something superior to money. It's called value. May God open doors for us and give us opportunities that will help us develop the right values in the name of Jesus Christ. And then finally, in developing value, master your art. Master your art. Master your art. It's good to learn so many things, but be a mastery in some. Be a pro in some. Squeeze the juice out of that particular skill or craft till only you can do it. Or if they are counting people, they can't count two without your name. Mastery. It's called mastery. Master it. Okay, I'm just a radiographer. No problem. All I can do is ultrasound. But you can master it so well that chances are that people will only go to your diagnostic center. Find that thing that you can do. You can do so many things, but find where your passion is and begin to master it very well. Master it very well. Okay, the only thing I can do is communicate. Money is sitting inside of you. Do you know people can pay you more now for information that you can give or how you can communicate? Yes. You don't even need to do public speaking, no. Start a YouTube channel. Just look for something that everybody identifies with and begin to communicate it in a way. There's a guy that sells car in Abuja. Serkin Mota. That guy has taken over the market. There was another one in Lagos they call Ola. Ola of Lagos. People are now, it's as if people have forgotten that guy. Oh. My brother. Now everybody wants to go to my brother. Why? Chances are that he's not even the owner of the car shed. He just knows how to communicate. And he mastered it very well. How do you think that comedy became a niche in the entertainment industry? Look at people like Alibaba. They were the ones that they knew how to communicate their craft. Making people laugh at home. How about making people laugh in an occasion? And then before you know, they started looking for them in state house. Any occasion, they will look for them. They started as MC. Then they can just gather people for a show. Then people like Basket Mouth took it another step further. That you can have comedy concerts. Then AY came. Okay, people will not come because of comedy. So let's bring our music guys together. Master your art. Master your art. You saw this gentleman that sang here during the worship team's ministration. Some of you were shouting not because of the anointing. It was just because of what he was doing. It's mastery. It's mastery. It took pain to get there. If I say I feel like giving him money now, will I? Is it a bad thing? Master your art. Master your art. Someday you'll meet somebody who is looking for who can do this better. Mechanic, master your art. Why will you be a mechanic and they must bring the car back? The car came to your shop and never remained the same and must be coming back. It's like pneumatic service. You have to keep coming back. Some mechanics, the day they touch your car, you just know where they are staying because you will be going there. There are some mechanics, just rent a 2-bedroom flat. One room is for them because you will need them to be touching your car again and again. Master your art. Finally, under developing your value, or under developing value, learn how to appropriate one of these. Especially for those of you in business or entrepreneurship, learn how to appropriate one of these two. Intensify or diversify. Intensify or diversify. Sometimes you become more valuable when you intensify your efforts within a particular field. Take one business, pump in a lot of effort and pressure in it. Many people were doing cement. One guy entered that field. I don't know what he did. His cement became number one. I hope you know who I'm talking about. Some other times, you need to learn to diversify. As a businessman, there are times when a particular product or a particular avenue of business Maybe because it is producing so much, in the market becomes proliferated. Many people are going into it. At that point, it's not going to be as sustainable as before. It's not going to be as lucrative as before. That's the time where a wise businessman will need to diversify. Since everybody is now selling suya, chances are that you will not make so much money in suya. So you need to find something else that you can do in addition to suya. Diversify. That's what businessmen do. That's why somebody will sell sugar today, add flour tomorrow, add cement. Now he has entered crude oil. Learn how to appropriate one of these. Sometimes you need to learn to intensify. Some other times you need to learn to diversify. Another way to develop your value or develop value is to learn from your pain. Your pain can become your value. Imagine somebody who went through a horrible experience growing up, and they've finally been able to forgive themselves and forgive everybody that caused them the pain. And they are bold enough to confront that pain. That pain can become a story in your mouth that can give you influence over many people. Yeah. Record it on video. Put it out. And then you hit 1 million views, 2 million views. Who will pay you? Is it not YouTube? Some of you, there are painful experiences you've gone through that should now become your value. But because you are afraid or ashamed to confront your past, you don't know that past you were able to go through will be the secret for another person escaping from the same. There are some people in history that died fighting for what they wanted. They didn't get it. They died fighting. They died trying. But now we talk about them in history, and they are now heroes. For instance, General Ojukwu of Biafra. He died and the case of Biafra was closed. But till today, he's still in history. People look at him as a freedom fighter. Am I saying go the way he went? No. But he's now valuable because of his experience. What makes you outstanding as a man of God when you preach is not how much of scripture you know. At some point, people want to see the life application of the abstract knowledge you are sharing. So sometimes you need to convert the pain you went through in the past. The reason why you went through it 10 years ago was so that you can preach to a dying world today and give them hope. Are you getting blessed? The power of value. I think I just taught 57% of it. Let's proceed so we can close. Number three, systems and structures. That's another wisdom principle for supernatural supply. Systems and structure. System simply means an organized approach to achieving something. An organized approach to achieving something. System. A system can be an executional strategy. How you are able to execute a particular thing. In other words, how things are done. While structure refers to the build up of a thing, the construction of a thing, the strata of a thing, how things are built or how things are organized. So systems deals with operation. Structure deals with organization. You need the power of both as a principle to access supernatural supply. You need to have a structure for your financial life. In fact, your life generally must have a structure. By order of priority, which one comes first? Which one is more important? In business, there are people who want to do many things at the same time. You will not succeed, or you may not succeed. So structure brings organization. Okay, in the next 10 years, of my business career. I want to start with this. But after 3 years, I should move to this. And after 2 years, I should move to this. So these two would have been strengthened. And then they will create enough capital for me to move into this. That's a structure around your business goal for 10 years. Then, importing the power of system is now how to go about what you have organized. Okay, I want to sell cement for the next 2 years. And after selling cement, I will diversify into another field. Now, let's start the cement business. How are you going to go about it? So the first talked about structure. I will sell cement for 2 years. After selling cement for 2 years, I will enter palm oil business. After palm oil business, two of them will generate enough capital for me to enter into fashion. That's the structure. Good. Okay, let's start with cement business now. How are you going to go about it? The how is the systematic approach. Do you know that there is something called financial systems? The different ways and the different channels by which you can leverage on the abundant supply and sustainability of resources. Are you hearing me at all? Let me give you three financial systems that can help you enjoy limitless supernatural supply. Hear this. God is the source of your supply. However, men and coordinated circumstances becomes the systems through which it flows. Men and coordinated circumstances. Coordination means you are bringing everything into different systems to operate and organizing them into different structure. It's like your body. I wish I had the time to explain this. It's like your body. Your body has different parts, isn't it? The structure of your body is the arrangement of this part. The system of your body is how these parts interrelate by their work, their operation. That's the reason why you have 9 systems operating in your body now as you are seated looking at me, and none is clashing the other. All of them have an organized approach as to how they function. And they are all organized in your body in the same way. Ask yourself, why did God not put head on the leg and leg on the head? Why did God not put eye on the buttocks? Structure. 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 Do you realize that when you are drinking water, there is a sequence between every gulp and every breath you take in? Otherwise, if at any time you try gulping and breathing in at the same time, water will go the wrong way and you'll cough. Now, God made your systems to function in such a way that the natural sequence should be, as you are drinking, as you are gulping one, you are exhaling. And when you gulp it down, you can breathe in. In fact, if at any time there is a clash, it is the exception, not the rule. The same thing applies to your finances. Why just stay on only earning salary? Some people, all they know about financial supply is their salary. That's because you have not employed systems and structure to work. Let me give you 3 systems, financial systems that will help you. Are you getting blessed at all? Number one, there's something called money management systems. Money management systems. Let me tell you the truth, my beloved people. Before you learn how to make money, it is important to know how to manage money. In the school of money, there are 3 basic things they will teach you. How to make, manage, and multiply money. Huh? It is important to know how to manage money first. Unfortunately, some people want to know how to make money before knowing how to manage what they have made. And it becomes trouble. Because if you don't create capacity for something you want to take, when you get that thing, you may lose it. Somebody who doesn't know how to manage money, give him 500,000 today, you didn't solve his problem. He's heading somewhere to drink or to eat. Anytime money enters somebody's hand and the first thing they think of is their stomach, chances are that they have improper money management systems. Listen, how did God create the whole world? God created container before content. If you check the sequence of creation, container came first before content. If not, man would have been the first creation. Man was the last. He created the earth first and everything in the earth. Then he brought man last. Why? Container first before content. You need to know how to manage what you want to get first. In fact, money management systems is the first thing you need to know to be a good financial steward. If you know how to manage money. One of our brothers told us about Parkinson's law in economics. And the law teaches you simply how that your income has increased does not mean you should increase your expenditure. You may have to make do with a particular level of living, standard of living, while your income is increasing. One of my mentors taught me, and he said in this, you know, advanced, you know, money making, whatever, he told me, he said, live 10 steps below your income, your true worth. That means if I afford something now, chances are that I can get times 10 of it. Why? Because when you know how to manage and to get by and allow your income to increase, a time will come where you can afford what now becomes your desired future. You may be a lady, you are getting married, you don't have a job, but if you know how to manage money, you are an asset. If you can take 5,000 and go to the market and come back and still prepare something called soup, you will still be able to manage 50,000. Many women think that the more money, the more balanced the situation is. No. The problem is not with the amount, it's with the person handling it. Money management systems. Learning how to save, learning how to reserve. Even in savings, it is more healthy to have more than one savings. Why do we save, first of all? We save for immediate needs, emergency needs, or for investment. If you have two major reasons for why you save, don't you think it would be wiser to have at least two kinds of savings? Because now that you have just one savings, you are always using it for emergency. And after 3 months, there's no money there that can be invested. Why? Because you have one savings. But if you have two reasons for saving, for why you save, you should have at least two savings. Have one that you don't have access to. That's for investment. As it's growing, you are also growing in your mind. Then when it rises to a level and you have enough ideas that you can invest it with, fine. Even when you are going to invest, don't gather the whole money and chuck it in a business. No. Money management systems teaches you that you should start with a little. He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Money management. Rich people know how to manage money a lot. Many of them. Not all. Many of them. Many of them. Go and look at the car that Jeff Bezos is driving. Some celebrities drive better than him. But he's richer than them. Why? Are you learning something? There's money management systems. There are investment intelligence. That's another system, financial system for supply. There is investment intelligence. Proverbs 24 verse 27. Proverbs 24 verse 27. Investment intelligence. The ability to turn over resources into profitable enterprises. Investment intelligence. He said, prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field. And afterward, build your house. You know what it means? Invest first. Build a financial fortune before you start thinking of pleasure. So the last time you passed a mansion in GRA, it's good to desire it. But don't think that mansion will be built simply because you now have 50 million. No. Turn that 50 million to be 1 billion and you can build two of those mansions. Investment intelligence. You don't look at money as a consumption material. You look at it as a leverage for multiplication. Investment intelligence. You need to appreciate our Igbo brothers. I'm telling you. Clap for them if you need to clap for them. Ndibo kwenu. Let me show you something with the Igbo guys. And that system remains till today. They bring somebody from the village. Whether he went to school or not, we don't know. They bring him from the village to the shop. And he stays 7 years with that man. And in 7 years, they teach him about all the products in the shop. He knows the prices of all of them. He knows when the market value has changed. They teach him how to negotiate. You can never enter the shop of an Igbo man and he say, I no get. He's really born again if he says that. If he say, if he asks you, he'll tell you, wait here. He will go to another shop. How much is it? 22,000. He will add 500 on top. Buy it there. Sometimes he has not even paid. But negotiation has helped him to leverage on relationships. He comes back, sells it to you. 22,500. Puts his 500 naira, sends the 22,000 back there. That one is his own pocket. His master doesn't know. And 7 years after staying with a man, whether he has a degree or not, they settle him and he becomes a millionaire. That practice has stayed with the Igbo guys till today. That's why you see Igbo people in almost every local government in Nigeria. Investment intelligence. If they put money in your hand, what do you see it as? For spending? Or you are seeing something multiplied? The Elisha asked that widow, what do you have? Just a jar of oil. Elisha had the investment intelligence. That oil can multiply. You can sell it, pay off your debt, and still live on the rest. So it can take you from minus to plus. What's the difference? Borrow vessels. The vessels there can be increase your intelligent quotients. Go and be more smart. Go and get more sense. Go and get more degrees. Go and learn other ways of doing the same thing. Ask one lady. Find how this lady cooks egusi soup and learn. She becomes jealous. Unknown to her, humble yourself and learn how this one cooks egusi soup. You have her own recipe. You have your own recipe. Investment intelligence. Finally, there is transactional intelligence. Transactional intelligence. This is where you now know how to study the market. You can predict when the price of rice will rise and it will come down. You know, when you tell some believers in church, invest in agriculture. Hey, apostle say more invest. They'll just go, how much be beans? And then they don't know when the price is changed. They don't even study the market. The beans will wait there, then they will sell it at a very low price because they have no relationship with market value. They don't know what's happening in the market. And then they say, I invested in beans and I lost. You lost because you didn't have transactional intelligence. Proverbs 11:26. Let me show you something. Proverbs 11:26. It says, the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. How he sells it doesn't matter. Keep it till it is scarce. Then bring it out. Bring it out abundantly. Okay, you now discover one or two neighbors they have. How much is their own mudu? 3,500. And you know that already, when you bought it, a mudu was 1,009. So even if you sell it 2,500, you will not lose. But so that transactional intelligence is knowing how to dominate the market, turn the whole market to your own favor, monopolize it, and then crash your own price to 2,800. I go tie them with nylon. He said the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing is on the head of him that sells it. Did you learn something today? If that widow didn't have transactional intelligence, that oil multiplied would still not have done anything for them. I want you to remember these three. I don't know whether we need to have a financial seminar, but truly I've not done justice to this. In fact, I avoided some kind of talk because only business people will understand. Money management systems, investment intelligence, transactional intelligence. Know how to manage money. Know how to invest money. Know how to transact. Study the market. Sometimes a wise business person can sell and lose. No problem. She lost money, but she gained customers. She lost money, but she gained trust. She has studied the system over time. She's in business. Whether she will not lose to a point where she goes short. At least it comes back to having her capital. But she now has customers. The next season, you see her bounce back. Even God uses transactional intelligence in spiritual warfare. Sometimes God will allow you to lose a battle so that you can win the war. And then number four, finally, the power of relationships. That's the last wisdom principle for supernatural supply we'll talk about today. The power of relationships. The power of relationships. If you know how to keep, to make, and to coordinate relationships, you can be sure to be connected to a supply flow. John chapter 4 verse 7 to 42. That's the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus had a need, water. And he sat by the well. He could have just drawn the water out. Okay, even when the woman came, please give me water. You are a Jew, we are Samaritan. Just give me the water. But Jesus saw beyond water. He saw that that woman was a door to a city. And having a conversation with her, even though he was thirsty and he was famished, he was hungry. But having a conversation with her was going to establish a relationship that would give him a city in 2 days. Let me tell you something. There are times in your life when you are down, but you are not out. It can be a season for you to make credible relationships. Listen. Situations reveal. Circumstances reveal. Your being broke is a revelation process. It's a revelational process. It will show you who is with you and who is against you. Relationships. You need to learn to coordinate the relationships around your life. There are some people around you that at best should just be business relationships. If you get too intimate with them, it will destroy business. There are some people that you can enjoy an intimate friendship with them, but they are not good when it comes to money. Don't carry them into business. And she's my friend. She will sell perfume for me. No, I know her now. She will not. No problem. She loves you well enough that she will share the perfume for everybody. And tell them that don't worry, it's my friend's own. And then you are in trouble. Guess what? You borrowed money to start that perfume business. You and your friend are now broke. And she will tell you that she still loves you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Only few kinds of relationships cover the mathematical set of being both business and intimate. There are only few kinds of friends like that. You know, set in mathematics, that intersection, there are few people like that. There are few people like that. You need to know the difference between your acquaintances and your friends. That you just met somebody and you had a good time doesn't mean he's your friend. No. No. Friend, that word is a covenant word. It means you have checked their value system and it connects with your own. It doesn't compromise or contradict your own. It means you have earned their trust. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for the day of adversity. Some of you, you call some people your friends, and when you are in crisis, they have the capacity to help, but they can't help. They were not your friends all along. And don't really blame them. You didn't study the wisdom principles for relationships. Now, we talk about relationship as an avenue to getting money. And so we talk about it in a way that makes people just feel you make friends with people because they have money so you can get money. No, that makes you opportunistic. If you think making friends with people is so that when you don't get money, they'll give you, you're an opportunist. Listen, relationship, you go into a relationship seeking to give, not seeking to receive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, that's what they didn't teach us about marriage. That's the reason why you have many divorces, many marriages crashing, many relationships having problems. You know why? Because the two of them entered to get from the relationship. They didn't enter to give. And it doesn't describe the nature or the condition of a relationship. A relationship is supposed to be a covenant venture. You enter to give. You die to what you need so that you can supply them with what they need. If two givers enter a relationship, it is heaven on earth. If two takers enter a relationship, it is breaking somewhere. So if you enter with a mindset to give, see what you can put in people, you will not be disappointed when they don't give back. Because it is more blessed to give. Amen. Are you hearing me? Listen, if God connects you with a wealthy person, there is a wisdom in keeping wealthy friends. I read the scripture for you in Proverbs 22. It says, he that has grace on his lips and has purity of heart, the king shall be his friend. There is a wisdom in keeping relationship with wealthy people, with great people. Look at this. Two prophets, two kings, two scenarios, different outcomes. One went to a king and said, you married your brother's wife. You are a murderer and you are an adulterer. He entered jail and it cost him his head. The other one actually did the same thing. He murdered a man, slept with his wife first, murdered the man, then carried the wife. Once he heard that the man was dead, he said, oh yeah, woman, come. Who is more guilty? But Nathan, even though he was a prophet to the king, he had become the friend of David. And there is a wisdom in telling great people that they are wrong. There's a way to correct them. There's a way to go around wealthy people. Listen, if a man is genuinely wealthy, he didn't get there by luck. They have become wise by many experiences. They will be watching your every step. Proverbs 23 verse 7. It says, when you enter the house of a king, he said, if you are given to appetite and they put food before you, he said, put a knife. He didn't say don't eat. He just said regulate how much. He said, even when the king tells you eat and drink, but in his heart, he's not with you. The way you are eating like this, okay. Listen, one time, I don't know, but let me share this story before we pray. If I share my experiences with you, please, it's not out of pride. I can never be proud of anything I have or I am. I share it for two major reasons, to encourage you, and number two, to be thankful for what God has done. God connected me with one wealthy man. So anytime I go to his city, He says his house is free. But I won't go. I'll stay in a hotel. Apostle, come to my house. I won't go. And some of those times he wants me to come to his house. He's not in town. And I should go to your house. And of course, he was well. He had staff. I'll just stay in the hotel. No, I'm fine. I didn't know that he interpreted those actions to mean somebody who is content. So the first time I went to his house, he showed me everywhere. No, he didn't show me everywhere. Just took me from downstairs, went upstairs. When he got a bigger house, after much pressure, I decided, okay, I will come. This time around, he took me around the whole house. There was nothing I didn't see in the house. Maybe it's the room his mother was, or his mother-in-law was staying, I didn't enter. He took me to his own room on the third floor, plus basement. Basement, first floor, ground floor, first floor, second floor, third floor, hi there. Showed me everywhere, to the bathroom, everything. You know what that meant? I trust you. The next time, he got another. Even then, I said, I'm not staying in that house. He did every, I said, I'm not staying there. The next time, he got a separate house where only him stays, because it's closer to his work. He said, sir, come and stay. When I came, my room was downstairs. No problem. Very wonderful. The next time, they took my room upstairs. See his room. See my room. The allowance people give you into their life tells you if they can trust you. So when you come around rich people, don't look for anything. Close your eyes from what they have. Make them know that you can contribute to them. And I discovered something with rich people. Do you know that they appreciate even little things? They have the money. What do you want to impress them? Don't try impressing them. You will just get into trouble. They have it. But a little apple you bought. Now, this man, we've been friends for a long while. He's blessed. I mean blessed. I just realized that I've never asked him for anything. So guess what? If you need a favor, and I know he has it, is it not just one call? Finally, I will teach you the place of gratitude in relationship. Learn to be grateful for every person that God brings into your life. Learn to be grateful for your family members. Learn to be grateful for your neighbors. Even the bad neighbor, he taught you how to avoid having a problem with a problematic neighbor. Some of you have the privilege of getting good neighbors. Thank God for them. Many of us have not kept good relationships in our life because we are not grateful. Can I ask you one question before we pray? As my people, are you grateful for me? Sit down, sit down. How many church members are grateful for their pastors? You see, if somebody comes and meets you, Bishop, let's say you have a church and somebody meets you. I know I will get into trouble for this because somebody will tell, he's preaching. Just give me a break, I beg. Allow me. Huh? Just give me a break. You are pastoring a church. And you are doing it with the whole of your heart. And you are serving them. Then somebody represents the Gossip Democratic Party. And it comes to you, or she comes to you. And all they have to tell you in all your years of devoted service to them is what you are not doing right. And they forget to mention the good that you are doing. If I tell you the truth, I'm talking to you, my people now. You see, now, they will now say, oh, he. Do you know that this week I have not slept well? In fact, when I was praying to come for this service, one of the things I prayed to God for was, while standing there, I shouldn't fall, because in the last 3 days I've been seeing double. It has gotten to that point. Believe me when I'm telling you the truth. It's the same mouth I'm talking now that I used to prophesy, and it happens. So I can't be lying. Yesterday we had the business meeting. Everybody could see that I was tired. We finished that meeting. I went home. From home, we went out with somebody to go and visit a member somewhere. We came back past 9. Can I tell you if I slept or not? I don't know. This morning, I had to create time to counsel 2 people. Is it not somebody that really loves you that will do that? Now, I'm using me as an example. Many of you are not grateful. Some people, maybe you are expecting money or material gain from them. They may not have that to give you, but they have been there for you. Can you be grateful for them? That's the problem. One day God will bless that person and he will have the money to give you. But can you thank God that he's somebody you can trust at least? He will not cheat you. You have a pastor that prays for you, that loves you, that will never extort from you, but you now join the ring of people who are gossiping against him. You know what? The gossipers and the devil, they are killing you. Because now that you no longer can respect him because they have exposed you to his weakness, which voice will speak over your life and move you from point A to point B? Is it the same person you are gossiping? How do you think it will work? By magic? That you slander somebody and you still want to reap from the anointing? How? Have you created your own miraculous system? Not just to man of God, even to one another. I'm sorry, you see why I made these ushers do this thing is because everybody entering here is important. You don't know who they are. You may have to walk to the car park now and see some kind of cars parked there. And then you come back and be looking for who parked the car. Some heads of organizations are here. Some wealthy entrepreneurs are here. Some of them can just wear t-shirt and come. And then you see a protocol, just push the person. He's passing and you just block him. You are blocking your breakthrough. Learn to serve people well. Let me tell you something. When we started this ministry with 7 members, the way I study and the way I preach that time is still the same way today. That you have hundreds, and sometimes when we have big meetings, even up to 1,000, forget about the number online, it's still the same velocity, the same capacity, the same way. Whether I was broke or I was blessed. I remember one time, then we used to have our meetings in the university in Winners Campus Fellowship. There was a day I didn't have money. Then keke was 50 naira. I didn't have 100 naira to go from Damboa Road to university. Then when you reach university, you enter 30 naira keke. So I trekked. I used to have one shoe that time. They had to change the sole. That shoe tried for me. I'm telling you a real story. I trekked. Then at some point, entered keke Bama Road to university. When I came down, I was prepared to trek. One of our brothers saw us. He saw me rather. He was in a keke with 2 other people he invited for the program. And the man of God that will minister to them is trekking. Then he says, sir, please, do you want to? I wanted to form at first. Say, no, don't worry, I'm coming. But when I remember how the son dealt with me, I did shakarasmo, then I entered. Guess what? I had no hope of how I would go back. But when I went for that meeting, I preached powerfully. People who came in depressed had hope. I was talking with that brother recently and I told him, anytime I have money and I give to you, or you are in a need and I give you, don't thank me, thank God. That 30 naira you paid is still in my heart till today. I wish he was in church. I would have brought him out. Very humble. He doesn't like to be known. I didn't forget that thing 7 years ago. Be grateful for people. Let me tell you, if you gossipers, every church, listen, there's no perfect church. There's no perfect man of God. Even the members are not perfect. What makes you think if you leave one church to the other, you will get it better? Are you blessed? Open your mouth and give God thanks.
be glorified. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory and honor and praise. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory and honor and praise. You will be glorified.
You know what we are going to do? The first prayer tonight is we are going to thank God that we are hearing what we are hearing today. Listen, even those of you that may be students, I want you to appreciate more, because now you are assured of a better future. Some of the things that you are hearing, some married people here, they didn't have the privilege to hear it when they were younger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is faithful to feed us with truth that is helping us to go about life victoriously. In the next 2 minutes, you are going to lift your voice and say, Lord, thank you for these words that we are hearing. Open your mouth and give him praise. Especially in this series. You know, because by the things you are hearing, your life is changing already. Open your mouth and give him praise. Open your mouth and give him praise. Open your mouth and give him praise. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. Thank him because your life is changing by the things you are hearing. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory and praise. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Please be upstanding, everybody. Wisdom is the principal thing. I've taught you 4 principles of wisdom by which you can enter into a limitless flow of supernatural supply. You are going to lay your right hand on your head and say, Lord, I receive that wisdom today to begin to manifest in my life and change my financial situation. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and cry to God. Please pray. Don't just lay your hand for fancy. Please pray. I receive that wisdom. I receive the wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. You are still laying hands on your head. I taught you four principles. Number one, God by revelation. Number two, the power of value. Number three, systems and structures. Number four, the power of relationships. If there is anyone that is missing in your life, cry to God for it. If all is missing, cry for all. Open your mouth and pray in 60 seconds. Please pray. The grace to depend on God as my source. That God will begin to give to you. He will begin to teach you. He will begin to lead you in the way you should go. I obtain grace to develop value, to increase in value in my life. I obtain the grace to impart the power of systems and structure, to bring structure around my financial life, to activate necessary systems for financial supply. The grace to keep, to make valuable relationships, profitable relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Are you blessed tonight? Listen, like I said, when God begins to talk to us about wisdom, God is simply saying it's time for us to mature. God doesn't want you to wait for a miracle every day. He wants you to live in a miracle as a lifestyle. Wisdom can make it possible. Deploy what you have heard in your business, in your school, in your academics, in your shop, in your career. Deploy it around the finances of your family. As a married man, as a married woman, the principles of the word of God applies to every field. You don't need to be very educated to profit from the word of God. Apply it and see God translate you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Your life has changed today. Lift your hands. I want to bless you. Father, I stretch my hands as your priest over these ones. You gave them to me. You have given me the wisdom and the revelation to communicate your word to them. But you have also given me the empowerment to enforce the reality of the same in their life. I stretch my hands towards you and I declare a flow of God's wisdom upon your life. Let that amen be louder. From today, you will no longer be confused on what to do. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, every mistake around your life is remedied by the wisdom of God. Obtain the grace to depend on God as your source. Obtain the grace to see God as your limitless source of supply. In the name of Jesus Christ. The strength and the diligence to develop the right value. Receive it in the name of Jesus. The grace to know how to market what you can do and who you are in exchange for financial supply. Receive it in the name of Jesus. God will teach you how to speak. God will teach you how to talk. God will teach you how to sell yourself very well. God will teach you how to convince people in exchange for resources. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the power of systems and structures be applied into your life to give you stability. Stability around your finances. There are some families here where there are problems of debt here and there. The problem is lack of systems and structures. Obtain the grace for the same to manifest in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God brings organization and order to your finances. Obtain the grace to apply the right systems in your finances. And then finally, the grace to make, to keep, and to coordinate valuable and profitable relationships. Receive it in the name of Jesus. May God give you a discerning eye to see a gold in the mud, to see diamond in the mud, to see greatness in people. In the name of Jesus Christ. The grace to see people for who they really are. And not just what they appear to be outwardly. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Your life is changing from today. You are stepping into a grace for limitless supernatural supply. Your financial fortune is changing today. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for you finally that in this week, you will experience miraculous supply of resources. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Shout amen 3 times. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Please, while you are standing, thank you for your patience and time. But let's have the opportunity for somebody to be saved. Everybody in this auditorium and those who may be outside and those who are following online, if you are here and you need to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus, I'm giving you this opportunity today. Perhaps you used to be born again, but life has thrown you left, right, center, and you don't even know whether you have a walk with God. Please, no movement everywhere. And you want to be reconciled with God. I'm giving you this opportunity today. More than prosperity, God wants to give you a profitable and eternal relationship with Him. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make this prayer with me. Wherever you are standing, say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died for my sins, and I receive you today into my heart. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, that therefore being justified with God freely, we have peace with God. If you made that prayer, you are born again, you now have peace with God. It is when you have peace with God that you can be assured of financial supply. If you made that prayer, I want to pray with you here and then speak to you briefly. Wherever you are, could you just raise your right hand? Let me see you. If you made that prayer with me, raise your right hand. I want to see you. Raise it as high as I can see. God bless you. I see a hand right there. God bless you. Lift it high. Yes. If you made that prayer, you are being reconciled to Jesus today. Please pick your Bibles and your bags and come to the front quickly. I want to pray for you. I want you to clap for them as they come. Carry your Bibles, your bags, come to the front quickly. The Bible says that there is joy in heaven for a sinner that repents. I want you to clap and express that joy on earth here. Hallelujah. Keep clapping till they are all out. God bless you. Keep clapping. They are coming.
You gave your life to me that I might be saved. Yeah. You changed my destiny through the awesome price you pray. Now I can say all things are passed away. All things are new. Now the same.
Yes, I've been changed.
Yes, I've been changed. Yes.
Say it's true, it's true.
I find my life in you. All things are new. Not the same.
Yes, I've been changed.
Yes, I've been changed. Yeah.
Hallelujah. you to stretch your hands in front. I am grateful to God when we have souls saved. Hear me. From January, our first service, till April, in the last 4 months, we've had 100 and how many souls? 103 souls saved. It's worth it. It makes us endearing to the heart of God. Stretch your hands towards these ones. Pray for them. Please lift up your right hand to God. I want to pray for you. Lift up your right hand. Father, I pray for these ones in the name of Jesus. I declare that their names are sealed in the book of life. Their sins are forgiven. They are born again. From today, they will walk in victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And they will serve you for the rest of their lives. As you have reconciled them to you, Lord, change their financial situation and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Cause them to walk in grace from today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please look at me, those of you in front. This is the best decision you have made, okay? You are now born again. God wants to walk with you. He wants to make your life carry a significant meaning. Two things you do for me before I let you go. I want you to return back here next Sunday. There is so much you will hear that will change your life. And when you are coming, come with somebody, especially those that you know need to be saved. Number two, please turn to your left. There's a lady putting on a counselor's stack. I want you to walk straight to her. Our counselors will pray with you and have a word with you. We want to have your contact so that we can be praying for you every day. God bless you in Jesus' name. Please, who knows this lady? Who did she come with? Are you okay? Okay. I was talking, but she didn't behave as if she was hearing what I'm saying. God bless you. Come, let me lay hands on you. Come. Just you. Father, I declare grace on this one. In the name of Jesus. Let every yoke and every limitation of darkness be broken. Let your destiny see the light of day from today. It is well with you from today. The breath of God comes upon you. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Please hand them over to our counselors so that they can talk to them.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.